أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد قد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن الحسين مصباح الهدى وسفينة النجاة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة
The Holy Prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that most certainly Hussein is the guiding light and he is the ship of reverence. What we are talking about is the importance and the responsibilities that we have about Aza of Imam Hussein sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aza in Arabic means when someone passes away for you to go and comfort the individuals who have lost their loved ones. So meaning of Aza is that when there is someone who passes away from this world, someone who dies, the relatives who stay behind, or for example, if it was my dad and he was to pass away, Aza for you would mean that you would come to me and you would comfort me and tell me that I should have patience on the loss that I have endured. So the meaning of Aza is this. The meaning of Aza of Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam means that we comfort each other and also the Imam of our time, Imam Zaman Alaihi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And we comfort each other, telling each other that we should have patience, we should give each other the support that we need on the loss of Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his family in Karbala. And to our Imam Zaman Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the meaning of Azai Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that we tell our Imam that, O Imam, we know that you are alone right now. We know that your heart is burning. We know that you have a lot of remorse on the martyrdom of your grandfather, Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know that. And we recognize that and we are with you. In this mourning that you do, in this crying that you do, we are with you. We are crying with you on the loss of Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that we are waiting for you to come. The day that you come, we will be with you to take revenge with the enemies that that martyred Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Karbala. So that is basically the meaning of Aza of Imam Hussein. Now this Aza happens with different ways. When you are mourning someone, when someone goes away, someone dies, the way that you mourn, there's differences in cultures. Some cultures, like for example ours, when someone passes away, we will have, for example, Quran Khani, you've seen that. People will come together and they will recite Quran and they will give the sawab or the reward of this Quran recitation to the person who's passed away. Or we will come together and sit down and we will ask each other how this person passed away. Was he sick? Did he have any problems? And then we find out why or how this person passed away. We try to comfort the individuals who have lost their loved one. Now the Aza of Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam happens in every single country in the world. I don't think there are any countries left now in this world that does not have the Aza of Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And every culture has a different way of showing sadness. The universal way to show sadness is when you cry. Everybody, doesn't matter who that person is, if they are crying, you would know that they are sad. So in different cultures, there might be that some people wear black clothes or some people will have you know, suit or tie, and they have this black tie and a black coat. There's different ways that they show that they are sad on the loss of the person who passed away. It's like that in our culture, in the Indian or Pakistani culture, the way that we show our sadness is that we wear black clothes on the martyrdom of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We do not smile, we do not joke around, we do not watch TV, we do not do those things that we would do normally. And we have a sad face throughout the first 10 days of Muharram. And on the 10th day of Muharram, all of us cannot go to work, we cannot go to school. That day specific, we are either crying or sending the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the enemies of Imam Hussain sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Recite aloud, Rasulullah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So the history of Aza in different countries, in different cultures, you can read about it, you can do some research on the internet, how did it start it. Approximately 323 years after the Hijrat, after the migration of the Holy Prophet from Makkah to Medina, the Aza of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became an event which was done with the groups of people came together and they did that in public. Before that, the Shias of Ahlul Bayt al Amsam, they used to do Aza of Imam Hussain, but they were confined in their houses. They were not allowed to come outside on the streets to do matam or to have jalus. They were not allowed to have centers where they can come together and remember Imam Hussain's sacrifice. It was only after about 250 years that the Shias were able to come together, as we have come together, to mourn Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So each culture, the way that they would show remorse or sadness, they continued this Aza of Imam Hussain for the last 1400 years. And just like that, you as well will continue. Once we pass away, you will continue this Aza. Some of you, maybe one of you, two of you will go and learn about Islam, and you will become scholars, and you will come back and you will tell other people about Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the history of Karbala. So this is a cycle which is going to continue, and it has been continuing for the last 1400 years. Some of the responsibilities that we have about the Aza of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that we attend the majlises. Wherever there is a majlis, you should attend that majlis. You should go to that majlis. You should go there with sadness in your heart. And when you go to that majlis, you should also, our responsibility is to cry. Our responsibility is to do matam. Our responsibility is to take care of the people who come and mourn Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our responsibility is that we organize the majalis in a way that the purpose of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becomes clear to the individuals. Our purpose is that in those majalis we talk about Quran, we talk about the traditions of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we talk about the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we talk about the history of Islam. So all of these things are responsibilities that we have with the Aza of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, the thing is that you might ask yourself the question, or you might have asked yourself that, why did Karbala happen? What were the reasons behind that Karbala happened? How is it possible that after 61 years, after the migration of the Holy Prophet from Makkah to Medina, that the Muslims themselves martyred, killed, brutally massacred the family of the Holy Prophet? They are the same people who are standing there in Karbala and reciting Azan. The army of Yazid is reciting Azan, and they are praying Fajr prayers, Zohar prayers, Asr prayer, Maghrib prayer, Isha prayers. There are people in that 80,000 or 120,000 people who were the enemies of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who came to martyr Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These people memorized Quran. There were some of those individuals who had even seen the Holy Prophet. There were individuals who had seen the Holy Prophet, have the revelations come to him and tell the people about Quran. How is it possible that the same people who are saying Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah in their azan are able to kill his own grandson? And not just kill him, but kill him so brutally that nobody has been killed that way in the history of humanity. That even when you have an animal and you are sacrificing in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, we have Eid al-Adha, where we do the sacrifice of an animal for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to give that animal a bit of water before we sacrifice. But these people took the grandson of the Holy Prophet and martyred him while he was thirsty for 3 days. Shimmer, may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, when he was coming over towards Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was lying injured on the battlefield of Karbala, Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, O Shimr, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And Shimr replied, I'm doing this so that I can gain wealth, so I can have money, which has been promised to me if I kill you, so that I can have the power, I can have the government, which has been promised to me if I kill you. And he told this to Imam Hussain, and he sat on the chest of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with a dull knife. And he hit Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam neck many times with this dull knife. How is it possible that these Muslims did this to Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? When they know that he is the grandson of the Holy Prophet, when they know that he is a Muslim, when they know that he is the Imam of the time, when they know that he is the most pious person, the most generous person, the best person on the face of the earth at that time, while in comparison, what they had as a leader was the person who used to drink in public, who used to kill innocent people, who used to listen to music. How were they able to come and justify themselves of doing what they did in Karbala? The reasons behind the events of Karbala starts at the time of the Holy Prophet. Salawat pare Muhammad wa
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The Holy Prophet was the last prophet of 124,000 prophets. You guys know who was the first prophet of Islam? Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And the last prophet was Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Each prophet that came was a Muslim, and each prophet taught Islam. And anyone who followed his teachings were Muslims. Those people who were living at the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus Christ, and they followed what Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was telling them, they were also Muslims. These people who followed the teachings of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they were not Christians, they were Muslims. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was a prophet of Islam, and he was teaching about Islam. And those people who accepted his teachings at that time, they were Muslims. It is after that he passed, it is after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted him up, and these Muslims, they changed their religion. From Islam they became Christians. From believing in one God and no partner associating to Him, they became mushrik. They became polytheists. They became those people who said that Christ, Mazallah, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were Muslims who changed. They changed their whole religion and they became Christians. Those people who followed Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, they were also Muslims. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was also a Muslim. He was a prophet of Islam. And those people who followed his teachings while he was alive, they were Muslims. But after Hazrat Musa alayhi salam passed away, these same Muslims became Jews. They changed their religion. Instead of having the morals and the ethics and the laws of Islam, they made their own laws. They made their own values. They made their own ethics. And they became Jews. The difference between Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's time and the time of the Holy Prophet was 500 years. How many generations do you think would come in 500 years? Maybe 10? Maybe 5? 5 if everybody was to live to be about 100 years of age. 5 to 10 generations passed and these Muslims became Christians. When the Holy Prophet came, these Christians who were present at that time, they knew that there is going to come a prophet who has been told by Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And you know, the first person to recognize the prophet as a prophet was actually a Christian, because he had the signs that are going to be present when the Holy Prophet comes. He knew about the personality of the Holy Prophet. He knew which family he was going to be born in. When the Holy Prophet came for 40 years, he was among Christians and Jews and polytheists and pagans and kafirs. Those people who denied the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those people who were Christians or Jews. For 40 years he lived among them. And he was called Amin, someone who is trustworthy, Sadiq, someone who is truthful. You also live among Christians and Jews. How many Jews and Christians or kafirs call you Sadiq? Call you truthful? How many Christians and Jews and kafirs call you trustworthy? If we have the example of the Holy Prophet who lived for 40 years among these non-Muslims, we should take that example as our role model and we should also become that way. After 40 years, the Holy Prophet was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come now and tell your message to everybody. And he came over to the people and he said, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُ. Say that there is no one else worthy of love and obedience other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will become successful. Who was he telling to? He was telling to the Jews. He was telling to the Christians. He was telling to the atheists. He was telling to the agnostics. He was telling to those people who did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they had changed their religion from Islam to Christianity or to Judaism. What does La ilaha illallah means? That there is no one worthy of love and obedience other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did these people do? They said, we know that you are Amin and you are Sadiq. We know that you are trustworthy and you always have told us the truth, but we are not going to believe you. Why are we not going to believe you? Why are we not going to change our religion? Why are we not going to become Muslim? Because our forefathers have been Christians. Because our forefathers have been Jews. Because our forefathers have been kafir. We are not going to leave the religion of our forefathers and accept your religion. And if you do not stop telling us to change our religion, we will put so many hardships on you. We will hurt you so bad that yourself you will stop. And the Holy Prophet was given so many difficulties. People used to throw stones. People used to put thorns in his way. Where they knew he's going to walk, they would put thorns. And the Holy Prophet would walk. When he's walking, his feet would get injured. People would throw garbage on him. People would throw the intestines of animals on him. And after all of this pain and suffering, he would come home. And Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha will take the thorns out of his feet. She would take her hand and wipe the face of the Holy Prophet and take the garbage away. She would comfort the Holy Prophet on the hardships that he was facing. With all of those hardships, the Prophet said, I'm not going to stop. I will keep on saying that there is only one God. There is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy of love and obedience. All of these idols that you have put into Khana Kaaba, all of these gods that you have made, they are not worthy of love and obedience. You know idols, right? You've seen the idols that Hindus have. Yeah, they made them in the shape of an animal, or they have 10, 15 hands and they make a statue and they put the statue and they say that this statue is our God. How can a statue that man made themselves be God? When you made it, and the Prophet would tell them, and these people say, no, this is the religion of our forefathers, we're going to stay like this. And you know that the Holy Prophet, when he came into Makkah and Makkah was conquered, the Holy Prophet put Imam Ali alayhi on his shoulders, and Imam Ali alayhi, he broke all of the idols that these kuffar had in Khana Kaaba. And after destroying all the idols, Khana Kaaba again became the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the house of idols. And the Holy Prophet continued his efforts for 23 years. Very few people accepted Islam in that 23 years. Very few people. And these people who accepted Islam were very few in numbers. Their parents were tortured in front of them. Their parents were beaten up. Their parents were beaten up to death. And they were told to say that you renounce the religion of the Holy Prophet. You come back to becoming a kafir. But these people did not renounce with all the difficulties. When the Prophet went from Medina to Makkah, when he migrated because his life was in danger, then they would come towards Medina and they would have battles. They tried so many times to kill the Holy Prophet. In those battles, you know that Imam Ali with his Zulfiqar, he would go and he would kill. Nobody else killed as many people that were kafirs than Imam Ali. Nobody did. In the battle of Khaybar, it was Imam Ali who lifted the door of Khaybar. That 60 to 80 people used to close one side of that door. It was that big. He lifted that door, took it out of the ground and threw it. And everybody saw Imam Ali doing this. The Jews saw, the Muslims saw, the Christians saw. It was Imam Ali in the battle of Khandaq that took the strongest person who used to take a small baby of the camel and use that as a shield. He was that strong. He would use the baby of the camel to hit people. He was that strong. And Imam Ali came and cut him in half. All the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims saw that. Where the Holy Prophet said that one movement of the arm of the Imam Ali al-Islam's sword is worth more than the worship of all of men and jinn. Of all of men and jinn, one movement of Imam Ali al-Islam's sword is worth more sabab, reward, than all of the worship of all of men and jinn. All the Muslims heard the Prophet say that. All the Christians heard, all the Jews heard, all the kuffar heard the Holy Prophet say that. In those battles, Imam Ali al-Islam killed so many of the kuffar that there was not remaining a family in Makkah that a relative of theirs was not killed by Imam Ali al-Islam's sword. Either it was their cousins or uncles or dads or their, all of those people that were living in Makkah, they had some sort of relative. The mothers would be crying on the sons that Imam Ali al-Islam has killed. The fathers would be crying on the sons that have been killed by Imam Ali al-Islam, or the uncles would be crying on the nephews, or the nephews would be crying on the uncles. And all of these people, they had animosity against Imam Ali al-Islam. They hated Imam Ali al-Islam. Why? Because he killed those kafirs who were there to kill the Prophet. And they would want the revenge. They would say, we're going to revenge all of those relatives that have been killed by Imam Ali al-Islam. We will take that revenge. And they kept coming and they kept coming and they kept coming and fighting with the Muslims. Until the Holy Prophet went to the Khana Kaaba and Khana Kaaba was conquered. Makkah was conquered. When Makkah was conquered, 70% of the people who were living in Makkah became Muslim. Who were these people? The same people who had animosity against Imam Ali al-Islam because he killed their relatives. When they saw that Islam has become so strong that there is going to be no way that they are going to continue fighting with Islam, that they are going to be able to kill the Holy Prophet, they said, okay. We become Muslims. But they did not accept Islam from their hearts. They only accepted Islam because they knew if they are not going to accept it, maybe the Prophet would hurt them. Even though the Prophet, when he came to Makkah, he said, nobody is going to get hurt. As long as you do not fight us, nobody is going to get hurt. Everybody is going to be safe. Because whenever a conqueror goes to the city that they conquer, they kill those people who are in the city. You've seen that in Iraq. They killed how many innocent people who are not soldiers? You've seen that in Gaza. How many kids and daughters and mothers and sisters did they kill? Why did they kill them? They're innocent. Because they want to conquer that city. They want to have their control over that city. So people thought they would do the same thing, but the Prophet never did. But the 70% of the people that became Muslims, they said, okay, we will become Muslims right now until this Prophet passes away. When this Prophet passes away, we will take revenge on the family of Imam Ali al-Islam. We will take our revenge. As long as this Prophet is alive, we won't be able to do anything. And they even tried after that to kill the Holy Prophet, to martyr him. And when the Holy Prophet passed away, if these people loved the Prophet, his body should not have been lying in the house of Bibi Fatima for 3 days. Nobody came to the house of Ahlul Bayt to say, to give them comfort that the Prophet has passed away. Nobody cried. Nobody tried to bury the Prophet. Nobody wanted to do a funeral for the Prophet. And Imam Ali al-Sattuslam on his own conducted the last ceremonies of the Holy Prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So do you see now? Can you imagine what kind of people they were? And as soon as the Prophet passed away, some of these people who became Muslims because of, not because they loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because they really wanted to follow the teachings of the Prophet, but because they wanted something from Islam, money. Because Islamic government had become so strong and was becoming richer and richer by day. So they wanted money and they wanted a position. So as soon as Prophet passed away, they gathered together in Saqifa. Saqifa is a place in a bazaar, in the marketplace. In the old times, they used to make a shelter for the people, so that during the hot sun they can come and stand there, that the air would be cooler. Just a small shelter. These people came under that shelter and decided that they are going to take the leadership of Islam for themselves. And they came out and said, I am going to be the first caliph of the Prophet. And those people in the city, if you are going to say that I am not the caliph of the Prophet, if I am not the representative of the Prophet, if I am not going to be the leader of the Muslims, you are going to see some violence. I will make sure that you are beaten up. I will make sure that you are not going to get any riches of Islam. So the people became scared. Who are these people? These are the same people who became Muslims at the time that Makkah was conquered. 70% who were just Muslims by their tongue because of the fear. First, and then the second, and then the third. The third caliph said, you know, there's so much money coming into the Baitul Mal, why don't I use it? Before, they were being careful, but this time, the money was spread among all, everybody. Who everybody? Bani Umayyah. Who Bani Umayyah? That the Prophet said that this family tree is the family tree of hell. These people are the cursed people. These people were given money. And the third caliph, when he passed away, it took days to count the amount of wealth that he had. Days. Hundreds and hundreds of horses, hundreds and hundreds of camels, hundreds of thousands of gold, hundreds and thousands of silver, his bank account. And Muawiyah at that time was given the post of leadership. So all of these things were happening. Where was Imam Ali al-Sattuslam? Imam Ali al-Sattuslam was telling the people, why are you doing this? This is not the teachings of the Holy Prophet. These are not the teachings of Islam. These are the teachings that you used to have before Islam. They were told that Arabs are better than the non-Arabs. That if you are an Arab, you are better than the non-Arabs. And the Arabs are the ones who are going to get more money from Baitul Mal, and the non-Arabs will not get too much. Only the Arabs will be in the leadership, the non-Arabs will not be able to get any leadership. You can give your daughters, you can take the daughters of non-Arab in marriage, but you cannot take the daughters of Arab as marriage into non-Arabs. These were not the teachings of Islam. Islam said everybody is equal. Whether you happen to be Arab or you happen to be non-Arab, whether you happen to be white or black, everybody is the same, except that person who is more pious. So guess what was happening? People were becoming more and more the lovers of this world. They were becoming prejudiced. They were becoming, having the same values as they did before the Prophet came. Bibi Fatma Zahra Salamul Alaiha will go and knock on the doors and say, what has happened to you? Do you not remember that the Prophet said that after me the leadership goes to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam? And they say, we don't remember. Bibi says, how can you not remember? It's only been a few days. Oh, we don't remember. Even that, even so, okay, they came to the house of Bibi Fatma Zahra Salamul Alaiha and burnt it. They wanted to come inside of the house of Bibi Fatma Zahra Salamul Alaiha. They broke the door. Who were these people? Among those people, the second caliph of Muslims was present. The second caliph of Muslims was present in that people. And they burned the house of Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamul Alaiha. They broke the door. Bibi Fatima was pregnant with Hazrat Mohsin. And a big nail injured Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamul Alaiha's stomach. And the Hazrat Mohsin, the baby of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, who was not even born yet, was killed. Who were these people? Muslims. Among them, their second caliph. They did that. And they dragged Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam out of the house. They put a rope around his neck. And they dragged him out. As they were dragging him out, Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamul Alaiha grabbed the belt of Hazrat Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't take my husband. Don't take my husband. Do you know what they did? They hit Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamul Alaiha's hand until she let go and her hand was broken. Who were these people? Muslims. Among them was the second caliph as well. So it's not that in Karbala was the first time that the Muslims gave pain to Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim, hit Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim, burned their house. It was not the first time. They had been doing this before. So when Imam Hassan al-Sattuslam came over, when he became the Imam, all of these people, they said, okay, yeah, after the government of Imam Ali al-Sattuslam, him being martyred in Kufa, okay, yeah, we are with you. We are your Shias, we are with you. Imam Hassan would say, okay, let's go and fight these Muslims who have not accepted Islam from their hearts, let's go and fight. They'll say, okay, we will go. But they would go in the middle of the way, they would take some bribe, would take some money and come back. All of these things kept happening until the time that Imam Hassan al-Sattuslam was martyred. And you know what they did to his funeral? While Imam Hussain al-Sattuslam and Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim, they were taking the casket of Hazrat Imam Hassan al-Sattuslam, they threw arrows at it. They threw arrows at it. And do you know who threw arrows at that funeral? They were Muslims. And they had one of the wives of the Prophet there too. Arrows were thrown. Imam Hassan al-Sattuslam has passed away, he's martyred. Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim is taking his body to be buried. Arrows are thrown on his. Who threw? Muslims. Imam Hussain al-Sattuslam was faced by the same Muslims who did all of these things in Karbala. And we have those Muslims today as well. We have the same Muslims for the last 1400 years who have not accepted Islam from their hearts, but they have only accepted Islam from their tongues. And the same Muslims are doing what they are doing today. You know, in Gaza, when all of this happened, it was a Muslim country who stopped the aid, the medicine to go to Gaza. They closed the borders. They said this medicine cannot go to the Muslims who need it. It's the same Muslims today who in Pakistan are martyring the Shias. We're blowing up mosques. These Muslims had only on their tongue. Islam was on their tongue, not in their heart. They had become the lovers of this dunya, of this world. Who is the lover of this dunya? The one who says, it doesn't matter how I make my money, I will make my money. It doesn't matter if I give bribes. It doesn't matter if I sell alcohol. It doesn't matter if I sell haram food. It doesn't matter if I do all the wrong things. As long as I make my money, that person is the lover of this world. These people were given money to kill Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Gold and silver. They were promised the governments. And because of that, they did what they did. Salawat Pare Muhammad. Do you see now? You see now that why Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam was martyred so brutally in Karbala? You see now what kind of people were they that would burn the tents of Bibi Zainab salamun alayha? They were the same kind of Muslims who burned the house of Bibi Fatima. When Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam was martyred, when his neck was cut off and put on a spear, these people started their horses towards the khaymas, towards the tent in which women and children were remaining, and Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam was sick in one of the tents lying. You know what they did as soon as they reached the camp? They started hitting the women and children with sticks. They took their spears and started taking the chadars off of babies. They would take the spear and grab the chadar of Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha and lift it. They trampled with the same horses, little kids. They did not stop if there was a child in front of them. All the children were running, scared, and so many of them got trampled under the horses. They hit Bibi Sakina salamullah alayha. And as they burned each tent, Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha and the kids would run, and the babies would run into the other tent. They would burn that and they would run into the other tent. And then they took them in prison. They put ropes on their hands. They dragged them. Who were these Muslims? The same Muslims who put a rope in the neck of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The same Muslims, the same type of Muslims, put ropes in the hands of the women and children of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And they put them in one row. And they said, we want these women and children to see what we have done to their fathers and to their uncles. Imagine a desert, hot, the sand flying, and a row of prisoners, all tied in one rope, who are brought near the bodies that are trampled by horses. These bodies that do not have any necks. There's Bibi Sakina looking. That looks like the body of my father. How do you think she felt being 6 years old to see the trampled body of her father? Here's my uncle Abbas without arms. Here's Hazrat Ali Akbar with a spear in his chest. And the kids wanted to go to their fathers, but they were tied in ropes. How would you feel, what kind of hatred you would feel for Muslims that did that? How would you feel if they did this to your own sisters and to your mothers? How would you feel? Would you not have anger? Would you not be sad? Would you not cry? This happened to the Prophet's family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse the enemies who did what they did in Karbala. May the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon them. And may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon all the enemies of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to accept Islam from our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to follow our Aimmah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to make the Holy Prophet as our role model. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep Iran safe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a long life to Imam Khamenei. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the armies of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala release all the prisoners of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Imam come as soon as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from his soldiers. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal Asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات عليكم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Now, if you have any questions, you can ask. Yes.
What does the government do of the Muslims that had a lot of money?
The government after the second caliph. Because the first caliph of Muslims, he put the foundation for the second caliph. The second caliph, what he did was, he took the people and told them to get out of Medina and to go and conquer all of these countries. You know, Rome and Persia and those countries, to conquer them. And when they conquered those countries, all the money came to the government. And these countries were rich countries. So from the second caliph time, Baitul Mal, the bank that Muslims had, to that bank was not supposed to be there to give money to the government officials or to the leaders. That bank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made so that the poor can have food and shelter. From Baitul Mal, you're supposed to use that money to help the poor, to those individuals who do not have shelter, who do not have house, who do not have money. But that Baitul Mal was not given to the poor. If you look at the condition when Imam Ali Rasulullah had the leadership of Muslim Ummah, there were people who did not have one-time food, but there were government officials who had hundreds and thousands of of money at that time. That's why Imam Ali said, no, I'm going to live a life which will resemble to the most poor person in my government. So the most poor person that was in the government of Imam Ali was able to afford one-time food. And Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam said, I will not take any money from Baitul Mal. All of that money will be spread among the poor. And you know, in 4 years and 9 months, there was no beggars left in the government of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Everybody was given food and shelter. Why? Because Imam Ali alayhi salatu used that money the way that it was supposed to be used.
Why do these people, why do the same people do this today?
The reason why the same people do what they do today is because they are the robots of shaitan. You've seen robots, right? These robots are controlled by, like you have your toys, right? You have a robot, and this robot is controlled by what? By you. So if you tell the robot to go forward, it will go forward. If you tell it to come back, it will come back. These individuals are the robots of shaitan. Shaitan will tell them what to do and they will accept and do it. We can also become the robots of shaitan if we listen to him. When you misbehave, when you fight, when you do not pray, when you do not respect your elders, you have become the robot of shaitan. And the same robots of shaitan are doing what they're doing today. They're not, if they think for one moment, what does this little kid has done to them? Why kill that little kid? They do not think, they only do what shaitan tells them to do. Yes.
Why are there more Muslims that appreciate imams than there were before?
Why are there more Muslims that appreciate imams than there were before? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, there were only 4 people that were the true followers of Imam Ali alayhi wasallam. Today there are 300 million. Maybe not true followers, but people who claim that they are his followers. 300 million Shias around the world. The reason why from 4 we became 300 million is because of the efforts that were put in because of Karbala and because of the Aimma alayhi salam. You know, each Imam, he taught the people the true religion.